Welcome to church.
We are so glad that you're here.
And we want you to know that when you walk through our doors today,
you didn't just walk into a building.
You walked into a family.
And regardless of who you are,
where you came from,
or what you look like,
you are welcome here.
Because at this church, we believe that God is love.
And that He is in the business of rekindling lost passions,
restoring broken dreams,
and filling empty lives.
At this church, we believe that life in Christ is not a formula of rules and laws,
but a moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus.
And His love is infinite and everlasting,
without pretense or condition or discrimination.
At this church, we can't stand religion,
but we love God.
And if you're not quite sure what the difference is yet,
we can't wait to show you.
We're glad you joined us today.
Welcome to church.
Nothing. So we're going to get the full measure of the Word of God this morning. I am so glad that we have this chance to come together this morning in the name of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, please take your Bibles and turn to our core verse for this new series titled Authentic Worship. Today is part one, the majesty that we worship. Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and all over the sanctuary. If you have your Bible in printed or in digital format, hold it up over in the air above your heads. Oh, I love seeing that. It doesn't matter if you have a Bible in printed or in digital format. It is still the Word of God. Amen? Our core passage for this whole series and our starting point is a very central passage for Christians. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I read, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May the Lord add His blessing upon His Word. What a great, what a majestic passage that is. Now please turn in your Bibles over to Psalm chapter 8, where we will spend the balance of our message today. But as we look at this current series, we are interested in transforming our minds, of presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice to a holy and awesome God. Amen? You see, in Psalms is where we hear the singing and the heart of the Lord. If we look at Psalm chapter 8, the very first verse, it says, to the chief musician on the instrument of Gath, a psalm of David. Now, it's real interesting. As you look at this passage, it says the instrument of Gath. It turns out that the instrument of Gath was kind of a wine-making instrument. So apparently, I guess they would press their wine and be very happy with themselves and get ready to worship the Lord back in those days. Of course, we know back in those days that they had no good source of clean water. And so that was what that they had to drink. Today, I have five simple points. You may have four bullet points there in your notes. That is my fault. I added an extra one later. I just felt like the Lord felt like I was hindering the Lord, so we added another passage. So as we read through Psalm chapter 8, I'm going to read the first four verses, then I'm going to skip down to verse 9, and then we'll come back to our points. Psalm chapter 8, to the chief musician on the instrument of Gath, the Psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Skip down now to verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. May the Lord add His blessing upon His Word. As we look at this passage today, we see and we come to our first point as we're talking about the majesty of God. We see mentioned the majestic name of God. Fill that in your point on the back of your bulletin. The majestic name of God. He says, Lord, I don't just know your name. He says, your name is excellent. It is majestic. This is the Hebrew word adyer, which means majesty, means the fullness of splendor, or in the fullness of majesty. In other words, he's saying, your name, O Lord, is magnificent. Your name is majestic. The names of the Lord that you see there, you know that many times we talk about the different names of the Lord when we read our scripture. And this passage says, O Lord, our Lord. The actual rendering there is, O Yahweh, O Jehovah, our Adonai. O Lord, our Lord. How splendid, how majestic, how wonderful, how magnificent is your name. What a great blessing that is. Look at our second point for today. Our second point is the majestic proof of God. You see, another proof that God exists is the witness of His people. The world is looking at you. The world is looking at how you react to the circumstances of your life. What type of witness are you to the Lord? Does your lifestyle, do the words of your mouth, does the meditation of your heart exalt a holy God? In other words, as we look at this passage, look at chapter 2, verse 2. It says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. You see, in other words, out of the mouth of babes, what is that saying? Is that God doesn't tell everybody His name. He doesn't give His name to everyone, but to the people that know His name. To the people that know Him. And by that know here, what it's actually saying is by those that experience the Lord. Everybody can acknowledge God. Even the worst people on earth will say the man upstairs. Or they will say something about the Lord. But for Christians, we come to church, we come into our lives for the full measure, for the full experience of God. It's something that we know. We don't simply recite His name in church. And the people that know His name, this passage, verse 2, says that they are babes. What does that mean? You see, babes are dependent. I saw we had a baby in the sanctuary this morning, and Miss Margaret was holding the baby, and Marcia was holding that baby. And that baby was dependent upon these women. I wanted to hold the baby. He looked at me like, who are you? But he went right to Miss Margaret. And so we see those things. Infants are dependent. They're looking for support from the one that provides for them. Why am I bringing this up? On our screen, we should have a passage, Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. It says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, but have revealed them to babes. You see, God hides Himself from the PhDs, from the arrogant, from the pride. It doesn't mean, I'm not talking about being uneducated. He hides Himself that believe that they need themselves and only themselves for everything in this world. That is, until death comes. Then they start looking for some help. We see here that God has revealed Himself to the babes. Friends, to worship God properly, you must see. You must attempt to see and worship Him in all of His majesty. And to do that, a humbling must take place within your heart. Come to the Lord with a humble heart to magnify His name. Let your heart be as a babe's heart. Let your heart be as an infant's heart. Let your heart be that dependent heart upon the name of the Lord. And let's think about something for a moment. We say regularly, many of us, the Lord's Prayer. Amen? How does that begin? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed is from a word that we also get the word holy from, the word sanctify. Sanctification or holiness means to be set apart. With that in mind, as we say that verse, our Father who art in heaven, let me set apart your name. Let me place as unique in my life your name. In other words, you set your mind, you think like this. Lord, I'm not going to mix up your name with everybody else's name because your name is unique. I'm not going to lump in your name with everything else in my vocabulary because your name, O Lord, is to be set apart. Your name is hallowed. I hate to repeat myself. My wife hates it when I do this. I don't want to beat a point into the ground, but listen closely. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, set apart as unique, is your name. In other words, Living Hope Church, in order to worship God properly, whether it's here in corporate worship or individual worship, as I spoke about last week, don't use His name as a regular name. His name is holy. And the reason that our great God is not regular, the reason that He is not common, the reason that His name carries greatness is because of who He is. What does the third commandment say? It says, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Vain means emptiness. Vain means worthlessness. That's the opposite of hallowing. You cannot take the name of the Lord thy God in vain and hallow, set apart, set as unique and holy His name. God says, don't take my name in vain. He says, because my Son said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. If it's hallowed to the Lord Jesus Christ, it should be hallowed to us. King David, God is saying, look at David. David is a man after my own heart. Look what he says in Psalm chapter 8, verse 1 again. O Lord, O Yahweh, O Jehovah, our Lord, our Adonai, how excellent, how magnificent is your name. How hallowed is your name. If we can get that very small point, I am hammering to death this morning, then we can begin to properly worship God. When you understand that in all parts of the earth, His name is not empty or worthless. It is hallowed. It is excellent. It is majestic. And He is to be regarded as holy, and He is to be properly worshipped. Amen? I want to make sure I still had you. Nobody was getting up and stomping out to the door. You know, you're probably saying, Pastor Larry, I get it. I understand. I got it. You're really kind of beating this into the ground, Pastor Larry. Really? If we've all got it, may I ask this? When we open worship today, when we open our worship service, was it just something to get through? Was it just something that we checked off the list? You see, the praise singers don't come here for you. They come here to bring all of us into the presence of a holy God. And as we worship God, we set Him as first. It's not something that we just get through. So as the praise team lifted up the name of the Lord, as holy, as unique, where was your heart? Where was your mind this morning? Who was God during the worship time this morning? You know, we had a few little anomalies at the start of our worship with the sound. Did that make a big difference in your worship of your God? Or did you just keep going because you're here to worship God? Did you notice that it's a little warm today? Does that make a huge difference to you? Sometimes it does to me. Matter of fact, I'm just going to spill the beans right now so you know what your pastor's up to. When I walk out over here, the air conditioner blows right here. So when I'm trying to look like I'm engaging you, I'm cooling off for just a moment. And when I go back over here, I want things to heat back up again. Amen? Amen. I love Living Hope Church. You guys are on to your pastor. So was even the simple during worship, speaking of God's name, was it excellent in your heart? Was it magnificent to your soul? Did you pronounce it with all the glory due His name? With excellence on your lips? You say, well, Pastor, maybe I admit my mind was wandering just a little bit. I was thinking about how tired I was from work, and I just wanted to sit down. Well, if you're ever tired like that, sit down, but keep worshiping God. Nothing says you have to stand up. I do. We do. Sometimes I don't know, the praise is so good in here, I don't know whether to sing, sit, stand, or tap dance. But we don't want to go there. You say, Pastor, I truly want to honor God. I truly want to worship God properly. I truly want to hallow His name. But how do I do that, Pastor? Listen, church, here's how you do it. By listening to what He's about to say here in this passage and who He is. I'm going to say this one more time. By listening to what He says about who He is. Not by thinking about God as who we want Him to be. By the way, that's why God told Moses, I am who I am. In short, telling Moses, I am not who you want me to be. I am who I am. Listen as God speaks to King David in verse 3 today of today's passage. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. That brings us to the third point today, the majestic power from God. The majestic power from God. By the way, there's a whole year of sermons right there in that verse. But for the moment, let me see if I can explain this simply and clearly. David is saying, I know how great your name is when I look up and I see the heavens and the sky. Friends, do you have any idea how big the universe is? Now, I've preached on this a lot. To trillions of stars, the hundreds of billions of galaxies, of which we are a part of one galaxy. Now, our galaxy is fairly mundane. It's a little bit more bigger than others. Our solar system is pretty average. Our sun is definitely nothing extraordinary or out of the place. But our planet is perfectly placed in the galaxy. Within the universe. We are in a place, a location called a local bubble. We are free of space gas. We are free of space dust all around our galaxy and our solar system. We are unhindered by galactic debris. We are set perfectly so as to view the heavens perfectly. Oh Lord, my God, how majestic is your name. When I consider the work of your fingers. We are here perfectly placed to consider His heavens, the work of His hands. But that isn't the entire reason that David is in awe of God. That isn't the entire reason he's in awe of God's excellent name. He is in awe of God because the Shekinah glory, the holy glory of God, is of such a magnitude that God has placed it above the heavens. Do you remember my series on the creation? God said, let there be light. In essence, what God was saying was, Shekinah glory in me be. And illuminate the heavens. People say, Pastor Larry, will we be able to truly see God as He truly is in heaven? Scripture says we'll be able to see Him in heaven. And I'm thinking about that. And here is the conclusion I've come to after many, many, many years of serious biblical study. In Isaiah chapter 6, the first four verses, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple with glory. And the temple foundations were shaken. And not only that, it says that seraphim stood on each side of Him, three on the side and three on the side, and they shouted, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. With two wings they covered their eyes. With two wings they covered their feet. And with two wings they flew. These angelic seraphim, these cherubs, these mighty angels of God that have been right there since they were first created, have been right in the throne room of God, that are His holy messengers, have found it fitting that they shield themselves from the glory of God. Can you imagine how magnificent God is? And one day when we get to heaven, we will see the Lord And I think we will see as much of the Lord as we can see without His glory incinerating us on the spot. Because He is an awesome God. He is a mighty God. Now David is in awe of that. But listen as we continue here. Listen closely. This is so good. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers. The work of your fingers. Now the Bible speaks of the anatomy of God in many places. It talks about His arm with a mighty arm and an outstretched hand. Or mighty hand and an outstretched arm. I'm sorry about that. It talks about His eyes. The eyes of the Lord look to and fro upon the earth to find one whose heart is completely and totally His. It talks about His ears. It says, I have heard the cries of my people. When He talked about His people in Egypt. These are what we call anthropomorphic language, using human terms for God so that we can somehow describe and relate to God. Amen? God is invisible, and this language is used to help us understand an infinite God in some way that we as finite creatures can grasp, because He is infinite. That's why when we get to heaven, we may be glorified, but we will not be deified. And therefore, as finite creatures trying to worship the infinite, we cannot receive or accept the infinite Shekinah glory of God into our hearts. Amen? And David is saying here, in verse 3, listen closely, church. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
He says, Lord, when You created the heavens, when You created the heavens and the earth, when You created everything, You did it with Your fingertips. You see, we have this image of God lifting that bale, toting that barge, using a handcart, carrying stuff around. Now I'm making a plan. And he grabs a plan and he works like that for a week. That's not what Scripture says. The Scripture says He did it with His fingertips. Isn't that glorious? Puts a different spin on Genesis 1, chapter verses 1 and 2. I believe we should have this passage on the screen. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And this could very easily just be a couple of drops of water right here in my hand. Holy God. He created the universe, but He is not contained by that universe. He is an awesome, incredible, magnificent God. Amen? And He did it with His fingers. It was not a struggle for God. People say, Pastor Larry, do you believe the Lord created the heavens and the earth in 6 days? And then rested on the seventh? Yes, I do. Pastor Larry, do you believe He did it in 6 literal 24-hour days? Yes, I do. Why do you believe that? I believe because I don't think He was in a hurry. He's God. He could have done it like that. He is an awesome God. You know, we somehow forget. God says, I am that I am. I am not who you think that I am. Are you beginning to get a sense of the majesty that we worship? God wants us to know the name. His name. God wants us to know the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ itself is majestic as well. How majestic is the name of Jesus? Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. O Lord, my Lord. O Lord Jesus, my Lord Jesus. How majestic is Your name. God wants us to bear the name of Jesus as well. Remember last week I mentioned Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And it was at Antioch that we were first called Christians. Write that down in your margin if you missed it last week. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Know the name. Bear the name. God wants us to share the name and the gospel of Jesus Christ as well. If you remember when we did the message about the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first four verses, it says, Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you were saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, listen to the gospel. How majestic is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For I delivered you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, and then the 12. The Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel. What is the gospel? That Christ died for our sins. That is why it is so critically important that you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's so critically important that you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we get to heaven? The scripture says in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saying, you wondering how you're going to get to heaven? How you're going to find your way there? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That means that if you've got some problem in your life, if you want Pastor Larry to pray for you, I will do that. But if you are looking for salvation, friends, and you're looking to get to heaven, then you don't come through Pastor Larry. You don't come through any pastor. You don't go through any person except the person of Jesus Christ. And you say, Lord Jesus, I confess that You are Lord. I believe that You died on the cross for my sins. I believe that You were raised on the third day. And by that knowledge, by that awareness, I confess my sins to You. I say, please, Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. If you do that, you're going to heaven. And once you've done that, once you've asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, once you have magnified Him for what He has done for you, then we believe you should follow in baptism. And we also believe that you should be baptized by immersion. And we have a baptismal right here. I love doing baptisms. You know, people say, well, Pastor Larry, is sprinkling okay? I said, well, that's all right if you're out in the desert and that's all you got. But let me ask you something. How many people here like Oreos and milk? Oh, don't get all spiritual on me, people. Come on. How many people like Oreo cookies and milk? All right. Do you take the Oreo cookie and take the milk and... Now, what do you do with it? Dunk it. Amen. I've been on that long enough. Moving along here. Back to Psalm chapter 8, verse 3. Back to Psalm chapter 8, verse 3. When I consider the heavens, the work of Your fingers. We see and we talk about the majestic person of God, our fourth point today. Friends, here's the idea. Sometimes we think we're all that. Sometimes we really think that we are all that. And the reason why we think we are so big, the reason why we think we are so important, is because we have managed to find a way to think of our God as small. The reason why we have the propensity to think more of ourselves than we ought to think is because we think less of God in our lives. We are first, He is second, if He's that. The reason that we can all become prideful is because we have forgotten who He is. So what we do is we build idols in our lives and we visit them every single morning in the mirror when we get up. But David, understanding his smallness, understanding the greatness of God, and in light of who God is, he says, Lord, verse 4, what is man that You are mindful of him? And the son of man that You visit him? He's saying, Lord, why would You even consider us? He considers us because of His great love. Now listen, church. As we realize that we should become less, and as we worship God in such a way as to ensure that He becomes greater, then you will realize that your significance under Him is not independent from Him. Look at verse 9 in this very same passage. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth. Now, why in the world does David envelope this psalm with the very same verse that he began with? You know, I get the sense here that David is overwhelmed by the majesty, the holiness, the set-apartedness of God. I get the sense that he is so incredibly overwhelmed that he doesn't really have the words to express. He doesn't have any idea of how to proceed in his worship. Amen? Have you ever been in that place? When the holiness of God simply overwhelms you. The question I sense is this from David. How? How can I render proper worship to a God of this magnitude? Lord, my Lord, how can I possibly worship you correctly? Lord, I am completely unable to express your glory. There are no discrete words to describe you, Lord. The whole creation is full of your glory. The whole creation is radiant with the excellency of your power and your great name. Your goodness and your wisdom are made manifest everywhere that I turn, Lord. When I look at the work of your hands, when I look at these young men here that have set themselves aside for the Lord, when you see these young men down here in the front, all sitting there, having their Bibles open, totally attentive. It's not because Pastor Larry is such a great orator, but they know who God is. And they honor Him. Lord, from your greatest creation, man, to the lowest worm in the ground, every creature on earth, Father, is supported and nourished by you. O Lord, my Lord. Father, the very fabric of the universe, as we see there in verse 3, the very fabric of the universe depends upon your external arm. You are universally everywhere. You are omnipresent. And everywhere you are, Lord, your name is excellent. There is no place that you are not. Your miraculous power, your miraculous name, your miraculous creation surrounds us on all sides. If I go anywhere in this earth, Lord, maybe, Lord, if I go to a deep valley in the central mountains of Antarctica, the South Pole, and in the middle of the ice, during a little warm spot, a single green leaf peeks its way out. You, O Lord, my Lord, did that. If I go through a meadow, a little place in a park that no human foot has ever set before, and I startle a bird, Father, you were there already, and you were eternally present there. Father, you did that. Amazing. Father, if I go there, to the cliffs of the Himalayas and the mountain leopards, you are there. God is there in the woods of Georgia, refreshing the pine trees with the breath of His mouth. God fills the flowers with His perfume. Listen, friends, you go to the deepest part of the ocean and you look at the creatures down there, and the glory of God is there, revealing His excellent name in the depths of the sea. You borrow the wings of the morning and fly to the remotest parts on the earth. Thou, O Lord, are there. But this passage says that God is not only glorified throughout the earth, His glory is greater than all of the heavens. Now, can you imagine that after the end times come and the judgment has taken place and we can live for it with God forever and ever in heaven, He has duties for us, He has things He wants us to do, but we're going to have these glorified bodies. Who's ready for a glorified body? Say amen. Amen. We will be able in our glorified bodies to appreciate all of Jehovah Adonai's creation. We will be able in our glorified bodies to travel to the furthest parts of the last frontier of the universe. And in that last part of the last frontier, go to the last valley of the last moon, of the last planet, and reach down and pick up the tiniest grain of dust placed there by God. And look up to the vast expanse of the heavens placed there by God for His glory. And perhaps for the first time in our existence, truly understand the words, O Lord, my Lord, how majestic, how excellent is your name. You are God and there is none other like you. Let's close this message out. We left David struggling to express his final point. But now we come to our final point, and we need a little help for this. In your Bibles, please turn over to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. If you're there, say amen. There we go. All right. If you're there and you have a paper Bible, say amen. There we go. Yeah, I know you digital guys. You guys got there right away. Look at the first three verses here in Psalm chapter 34. It's about the happiness of those who trust in God. It's a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Now listen to this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Friends, God may seem small to you right now with all the troubles of your life. He may seem right now like He's the small G in your life. But church, as we begin to magnify God, as we realize our smallness, although we are small, we are significant to Him. As we extol His greatness, as we lift up the name of the Lord, and we say, what is my man that you are mindful of him? The little g will keep getting bigger. And as His name grows in your heart, it gets magnified. And your troubles seem to get less. Our church issues seem to lessen. Because with God, all things are possible. Right now, you may be looking at God at this level. That's God. Because of the things going on in your life. But as I study and prepare every week, and I come here to meet with you on Sunday, I'm going to invite you to magnify the Lord with me, and together we are going to exalt His holy name. Amen? Because I'm going to share with you the things about God that I saw that week in my study. I'm going to tell you what the magnification glass, as I studied Him, revealed to me. And then you can tell me what the Lord revealed to you that week. And as I reveal what speak about what He revealed to me, and you speak about what He revealed to you, then the greeters are going to invite you, the praise team is going to invite you, and I am going to invite you to join with us as we magnify Him together. Verse 3 again, right there in Psalm 34. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. He must grow greater, so that God, G-O-D, becomes B-I-G at L-H-C. Amen? And God's name becomes magnificent. And His name is not just a word on a PowerPoint slide as we sing. His name is not just a word on a PowerPoint slide as we read the Scripture. It's not just a word in our Bible that we just read over, but that we come together and we magnify Elohim and Yahweh and Adonai and Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Nissi and El Elyon and El Shaddai, and we extol the name of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God just keeps getting bigger and bigger, not because we made Him bigger, but because He is big. Because we finally regarded Him as who He is. And the bigger that God gets, the greater our worship gets in our hearts. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And when people ask, how on earth did Living Hope Church, that little church, raise $100,000 for their new location in less than 2 weeks, God will speak to our hearts and we'll tell them, because that's all we ask for. Magnify the Lord. Glorify the Lord. Exalt the Lord. Come to church with great expectations. Come to church expecting God to do great and mighty things. Come to church saying, Lord, we asked for $100,000. Where did all this other money come from, Father? We might be a small church, but we serve a great God. And then people will learn that there is nobody like my God. There is nobody like my Sovereign. There is nobody like my King. May I ask you today, can you say, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth? May I ask you today, do you know Him? Do you know the name of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lord of your life? Because if you don't, we want to take care of that before you leave today. Our sole purpose, we don't come here trying to trick anyone. We don't come here trying to be subversive. We have one goal, and one goal alone. It's that God be glorified, and that when somebody walks into this sanctuary and they don't know Jesus Christ, that when they leave, they are forever changed, glorified by the Son of God. We are all about the name of Jesus. And so, for these next few moments, I'm going to talk about that. I know we've run a few minutes long, doesn't matter. This is all about the name of the Lord. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed all over the sanctuary. You may have come today and you're sitting here in this sanctuary, or you're watching on the internet, or you're watching a DVD video or listening to a CD that a friend gave to you of this message. And never before in your life have you asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. But today, your heart was touched. And today you decided to ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. You may be thinking, what next? The work has already been done by the Holy Spirit. You are saved. But I want you to repeat this prayer right where you're at, whether here in the sanctuary or elsewhere. Repeat this prayer quietly in your heart. Lord Jesus, today I accept you as the Lord of my life. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you came to this earth and died for my sins. I believe that you were in the grave 3 days. And at the end of that 3 days, I believe that you were raised again. And so today, Lord Jesus, I confess my sins. Please forgive me, Lord Jesus. Prayed that prayer. Scripture says that right this very second, a great shout went up in heaven. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels gave a great shout because of the salvation of a sinner. What a glorious thing that is. You may be here today and say, Pastor Larry, I've asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life before. I'm a believer, but I was never baptized by immersion. And so today, Pastor Larry, I want to be baptized. What do I do? Well, in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And when we stand and we sing, if you want to be baptized, simply come forward and come to me and talk to me. And we'll get that taken care of. You may have been wandering around from church to church. And you say, you know what, Pastor? I love Living Hope Church. I want this to be my church. And as you come forward and say, Pastor, I want to be part of this church, we will welcome you with open arms. You might want to take care of all three at the same time. Glory be to God in the highest. Father, let your will done. And Father, as we begin to rise all over this sanctuary, as we begin to take to our feet and sing praises to your name, Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit touch the hearts of those within this room, that He touches the hearts of those that are within the sound of this voice, that they would know that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh Lord, my Lord, how excellent is your name. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you would please...
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.